The scripture reading this evening is taken from 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6, page 1227 on your pew Bibles. So let's read 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through verse 6. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of their unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we open this text, let us pray together. Lord, we come one more time to you, and we pray that now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit be here with us, blessing the preaching of your word, blessing the hearing of your word, and bless it in such a way that all the glory and all the honor goes only for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is nothing more important than the gospel. I think you agree. The gospel, it is the message of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, dying for sinners so they can be saved for the glory of God. And we, as his church, we must proclaim and preach the gospel to everyone. And it doesn't matter that you are not a pastor. It doesn't matter that you are not a minister, a missionary, an elder. If you are a Christian, it is your responsibility as a child of God to preach the gospel. We have the command of the Lord in Matthew 28, 18, when he says, "Go and what? And make disciples." And how do we do that? By preaching the gospel. In order for a sinner to be saved, he or she needs to hear the gospel. And we, as children of God, we must have a passion to preach the gospel. If you don't have a passion to preach the gospel, then you need to examine your life, your faith. Romans 10:14 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And every believer, every child of God, is responsible for preaching the gospel. It doesn't matter that you are not a pastor. It doesn't matter that you are not a minister. Because in 2 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, "Who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant." And he's speaking to the church. He made us, all the church, sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul also says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul didn't say he gave me. No, he said he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So, gospel ministry is not only for pastors, for missionaries, or for seminary professors. Every single Christian is a minister of gospel ministry. Peter, the Apostle Peter, tells the church in 1 Peter 2:9, and he's speaking to the church, he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Now hear, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him." So we, as his church, we must proclaim the excellencies of Christ. All of us are called to gospel ministry. All of us are responsible with taking the gospel to those around us, in whatever place of influence the Lord has placed you. But preaching the gospel requires for us to be trained, to be prepared. And in our text this evening, we find several elements or several principles we need to be aware of in order to proclaim the gospel faithfully. This evening, I want us to consider four principles that inform our mind of the gospel and shape our ministry so that we can be faithful witnesses of Christ in whatever our place of influence. So you have in your bulletin these principles, and you can see that number one is the purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose of gospel ministry. And we have that in verse 3. Verse 3 says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." And this is not the only time that Paul uses this phrase, "those who are perishing." In chapter 2, verse 15, he also says, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." So we have two categories of people. We have those who are being saved, and we have those who are perishing. Those whom God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless, and those who are perishing. In 1 Corinthians also, 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So we have two kinds of people. We have those who are perishing, and we have those who are being saved. To those who are perishing, the gospel is foolishness. To them, the gospel is veiled. To them, the gospel is covered. And to those who are being saved, those are the elect, the called ones. And Christ himself spoke about these two categories of people. In John 10:26-27, Jesus says, "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Who are those? Those who are perishing. "But my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Who are those? Those who are being saved. So the purpose of the church, the goal, the purpose of gospel ministry is to call the sheep, not the goats. You should not expect the goats to believe the gospel. Only the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. God uses the preaching of the gospel, either preaching from the pulpit or preaching face to face with someone, to call his sheep, not the goats, to call his elect. When we preach the gospel and people continue to reject the gospel, that doesn't mean that the message is wrong. That doesn't mean that the message is weak. We need to understand that it is the outworking of God's purpose to redeem a particular people, those sheep from whom the Father has given to the Son. But we need to be careful here, because this truth in the hands of wrong people can be twisted. This doesn't mean that everyone who rejects the gospel on the first hearing is not elect. Our task as the church is not to determine who is elect and who is not. Our task is to preach the gospel to everyone with the understanding that God will save his elect. If we take the biblical gospel to our neighbors, to our community, and they are not interested, we should not conclude that we need to start playing music and having light shows to attract them. It can be frustrating to share the gospel with friends and family over a long period of time with no response. And we can be tempted to soften the message in some ways to make it more appealing, more attractive. But the church is not called to amuse the goats. The church is not called to entertain the goats, to entertain unbelievers. Our task is to sound the shepherd's voice as clearly as we can. So, number one, we must know what is the purpose of gospel ministry, and it is to call the sheep, not the goats. The second principle that we must understand in order to be faithful ministers of the gospel is that we must know the problem. We must know the problem. And we have the problem in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." What is the problem? That the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The greatest problem of this world is that people are spiritually blind. And we need to understand that. People are unable to see the glory of Christ. People are unable to understand the gospel. Ephesians 2:4 says that unbelievers are spiritually dead, and a dead man can't see. The essence of spiritual death is spiritual blindness. And when Paul says that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, he's saying that the nature of unbelief is spiritual blindness. It is refusing what is most precious because you are blind to its value. This is the world's problem. They are blind to glory. That's why you can preach the gospel with all your passion, and you can explain all the details of the gospel, and you can explain why that person needs the gospel, and you explain that you are a sinner and you need Christ, and you can do it with all your passion, and you can do everything you can, and then that person says, okay, that's good for you, that's not good for me. And that is the miserable nature of the spiritual death. You can preach the gospel and people can be indifferent. Jesus looks foolish to them. Or he looks like a mythical, psychological crutch made up for weak people. Or he's just boring. Because unless we are born again, we can't see Christ for who he is. The world's problem is not abortion. The greatest problem is not broken marriages. The greatest problem of the world is not divorce. The greatest problem of the world are not drugs. The greatest problem of the world is that they can't see what is supremely beautiful and magnificent, and that is Jesus Christ. That is the world's problem. And the church mission is to preach a message which by the power of God overcomes that blindness. The mission of the church is to preach a message which by the power of God overcomes that blindness, that deadness. And that is the third principle for faithfulness in gospel ministry. First, we must know the purpose. Second, we must know the problem. Third, we must know the proclamation. We must know the proclamation. We find that in verse 5. Verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. We don't proclaim ourselves. We don't put ourselves forward as the appeal to unbelievers. We don't make our mythology or our style the draw. We don't appeal to what is fleshy and worldly in the unbeliever. Instead, we do everything we can to get ourselves out of the way. We are just the finger that points to what counts, Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because here we have what it means for not preach ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5 says, "And I," says Paul, "when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." No, I didn't do that. Why? "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that," brothers, hear this, "so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Wow. Powerful. That is powerful. As messengers of this same gospel, we don't preach ourselves. Because no matter how sleek, how clever our words are, that's not what saves people. That's not what opens their eyes to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You are not the gospel. I am not the gospel. You and I have nothing to offer people that overcomes spiritual blindness. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. We proclaim the good news that Jesus saves, not us. And we do everything we can to get ourselves out of the way, out of the message. And that brings us to our fourth principle for faithfulness in gospel ministry. So first, we must know the purpose. Two, we must know the problem. Third, we must know the proclamation. And four, we must know the prescription. The prescription. Now, remember that all people are dead in their trespasses and sins, in need of forgiveness. Without it, they cannot know the God they were created to love and worship. But God has worked in the person of Jesus Christ to provide that forgiveness. And he has sent his messengers to declare that forgiveness. But because the essence of the spiritual death, when they hear that wonderful news, they don't see it for what it is. They see no glory in it. It is simply foolishness to them. So they continue to disbelieve and resist it. So what is the remedy of that? What is the cure of that? What is the prescription of that? Let's read it in verse 6. It says, for God, so the remedy starts with God. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That, my brothers and sisters, is the prescription. That is the remedy. In this work, God overcomes our resistance to the gospel by giving us the light needed to see things as they actually are. The prescription or the remedy for man's spiritual blindness is God's sovereign work of regeneration. Regeneration, new birth. God sovereignly makes us to be born again. And here, Paul describes three phases of this work. The Apostle Paul describes three phases, or three stages, three steps of this work. The first phase is the phase of light. This is the miracle of the new birth, whereby God sovereignly imparts spiritual light to the blind mind. And Paul compares this work of God to the creation of the world. If you can read with me, he says in verse 6, for God, who said, that is in the past, he said, let light shine out of the darkness. Where did God say that? In Genesis 1. In the beginning, in Genesis, God said, let there be light. And there was light. So Paul is saying that the new birth is just as much a sovereign act of God as was the creation of the universe. But see now with me the second phase. First, God shines in our hearts. And then what happens? What is the result of that? Well, the verse continues, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, before this light shine, the gospel is like a fairy tale. It is like a fantasy. But now that the light of the new birth has shined, it is the greatest news that we ever imagined. Phase two is the knowledge of the gospel. God shines in our hearts so we can see the gospel. And that is the second phase. And you know, for a lot of people, this is where the preaching stops. So many people preach the gospel by telling people that Jesus died for them, Jesus died for you, and then they leave it there. They stop there. But the cross was not designed to only save sinners. The cross was designed to be a demonstration of God's worth and the worth of his glory and honor. And the Apostle Paul knows that. God has shown in our hearts to give the light, that is phase one, of the knowledge of the gospel, phase two, and now phase three is, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All the work of God in our salvation is for His glory. It's for His honor. It is not only to save sinners. It is for His glory. What makes the good news, is not simply that our sins are forgiven. The bottom of why the gospel is good news is because it unites us with the glory of God. And so the gospel is not merely that Jesus died for us. The good news is that Jesus died for us in order to bring us to God. The good news is not merely that God gave His Son for us. It's that He did that for His glory. So, when you preach the gospel to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors, don't present Christ as merely as the ticket to heaven. Like a ticket when you go to the movies. He's not the ticket to go to heaven. He is heaven. He is paradise. Christ is not just the way into paradise. He is what makes heaven, heaven. So preach the gospel to your friends that way. And so, as we close, the question to you is, do you see Him? Is Christ your Lord? Has God shown light into your heart? Do you understand the gospel? Do you see the gospel? Do you see the beauty of the gospel? Do you live according to what you say you believe? If your answer is no, then pray to God that He may open your heart so you can see the gospel. And for those who answer yes, I can see the gospel, I can see the beauty of the gospel, then heed these principles from the Apostle Paul as you seek to faithfully minister the gospel. Remember what is your purpose. Your purpose is not to entertain the goats. Your purpose is to call the sheep. Remember that the world's problem is that they are blind to glory. They can't see glory. They can't understand the gospel. And therefore, remember that your proclamation must not be yourself, but Christ as Lord. The content of your message is only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And remember that the prescription is God's sovereign grace, whereby He overcomes the problem of the world, giving the light needed so people can see the gospel. And so, my brothers and sisters, preach the gospel in accordance with the reality that God's own glory is a great and ultimate end in His love for sinners. And in accordance with the reality that what makes the good news, is that sinners are open to enjoy the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Well, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful text that we opened this evening. Thank you for all the wonderful principles that we take from this text and help us to apply all these principles when we preach the gospel. Thank you for the light that you have given us in our dark hearts in order that we can see the gospel, that we can see the beauty of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that if in this church right now there is one person that doesn't know you, that can't see the beauty of the gospel, that in your sovereign grace, Lord, that you give to that person light, that you give to that person the light that he or she needs in order that he or she may see the beauty of the gospel. Help us to be faithful ministers of the gospel, Lord, in whatever place of influence we are. Either we are at home, work, at the store, in church. Help us to be faithful ministers of the gospel. Help us to proclaim what you have commanded us to proclaim. Help us to be faithful, Lord, and help us to live our life according to what we proclaim. Help us to be a way of sin and pursue sanctification. And help us as a church to be your tool and your instrument to do everything that you have commanded us to do, and help us to do it only for your glory and honor. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.